Figures from the CSO show that 8 of the country's 10 worst unemployment backspots are in Limerick City. Unemployment has long been a concern in Limerick, and despite recent job creation, many parts of that city have jobless rates 2 to 3 times the national average. So our reporter Richard Chambers went there. He's just back from the Treaty City, and he's going to tell us more. Richard, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, the figures around unemployment in Limerick, has there been any bounce back there at all?
Yeah, there's been some, but I think Census 2016, when it was sort of released to it, the unemployment statistics there last month, it unearthed quite a whopper of a statistic, that 8 of the country's 10 unemployment black spots within the confines of Limerick City. So those black spots, when they define them, they're areas where there's an unemployment rate of at least 27% and above.
27%.
Yeah. So 8 of the top 10 are in Limerick City. And beyond that then, Pat, there's a total of 79 of these unemployment black spots in Ireland. 18 of them are all in Limerick City. So unemployment levels have fallen since the darkest days of the recession. But across the black spots in Limerick City, the average unemployment rate there is 35.7%, which is massive in comparison to the national average. So these people on the north side of Limerick say they're being forgotten about.
Not enough jobs at the moment, and there's nothing getting back into the economy. So I don't know. I think the government need to step up and sort out something, because I don't know. There should be more employment. Like, there's a building there at the moment and it's a waste. We should knock it and build a swimming pool or a gym, or we'll get in more employment for the cities, you know.
I'm unemployed, so I'm 63, like, you know, and I feel like there isn't enough being done, you know.
No.
There's too many people going around that can't find work or anything, you know.
How long have you been unemployed yourself?
10 years.
10 years.
But I'm 63 and I've worked till 55, yeah. You know. I've worked in industry all my life. All industries are there, right? They're all taking on part-time workers and all that kind of thing, you know. They're not taking on full-time. Only there for 6 months, and temporaries and all that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
There's no full-time, there's no factories opening up, or businesses, like, you know? There's no work there now. I worked about 10 different plants, all over, I always got work, you know? It's not there anymore now, you know?
Not a hope in hell. It's all Dublin. Everything's Dublin. Dublin, Galway, Cork. You'll see the amount of places inside in the city that are closed down, sure, there's no jobs in. People are leaving left, right and centre. So there's nothing in the city. Everything's at the Crescent Shopping Centre. You walk into the city there on a Friday, it's like walking in there on a Monday. Limerick has no big employment status. There's nobody big in the city employing, like the likes of Dell years ago.
Of course.
And I'm only using that as just one of the big ones. I know there's a lot of other companies that supply 200-300 people, but there's no big thing like that. And years before that, it was crops above. And like I said, can't see it happening anymore in the city. City's kind of winding down. The city's finished unless they start putting big investment into it. There'll be nothing done.
And yet they have the airport just out the road, Shannon Airport. They have a seaport as well, a very deep water seaport. You know, there's lots of reasons why Limerick could be an important hub.
Exactly.
So, just wondering why it isn't. Maybe it doesn't have a strong enough minister. Yet it had Minister for Finance Michael Noonan.
That's what some of the locals were actually saying, is that, you know, we used to have the minister and now we don't have one. So they feel that they're, you know, they're not even having a voice even for foreign direct investment now.
Now the effect that prolonged unemployment is having locally, what sort of impact?
Massive, really, Pat. It's quite scarring. On my way around Moy Ross estate, I met Tom Gorman and his son Sean, who has been unemployed for a number of years now.
Limerick City cut jobs. There's no work in Limerick City. So the Limerick City, where Limerick City is concerned, unemployment is very, very high. Very, very high out here in Moy Ross. Moy Ross here, there's nearly every second or third family all unemployed.
No, I don't think there's enough jobs at all, to be honest with you. People that's on the dole there, like myself, I'm on the dole there. Very, very, very little jobs, to be honest with you. Like the likes of all those flats and houses went up over there. No Limerick people got them. If there was work there, I'd be working. I'd be happy to work, like a mechanic, like, you know. And Limerick people are getting just turned aside.
It's really the crowds, people, young people, they really have nothing really to do. I mean, they're on our streets then. They're trying hard. I have my son there. He's trying hard for work. Some of them can't get work for different reasons. For being involved in courts and so on.
Yeah.
Some of them are just petty crime. It's a complete black spot altogether. You pick the right fella, every second house is just, there's no work. There's nothing there for them. It's very hard for them.
Do you think people, if they see Moy Ross on an application form or on a CV, that they'd look over it?
I'd say they would, yeah. I'd say that a guy now living in the more, we've said, the more posh area I said there would have been there were a better chance of getting a job with the people in my Ross. We're known as the low-class areas. Totally wrong.
Now, Moy Ross, of course, was the subject of a big redevelopment effort. Is that evident on the ground when you were walking around?
Physically, it is. And I remember we visited Moy Ross about a year and a half ago before the last general election. And then there was a lot of complaints about regeneration. There still sort of is, but now you're seeing some physical benefits of it. I mean, the problem was that in regeneration, when it started off, they knocked down hundreds and hundreds of homes. And that really didn't have much of a benefit at all. Just, you know, it actually almost increased the problems now. But now you're seeing some benefit. You're seeing the community centres being redeveloped, and you're seeing some new social housing going in, and it looks a little bit better. So even from just aesthetically, it has having
because
some impact.
It's a fantastic site. Mm. I mean, Moy Ross, if, you know, the posh people were to go live there, it would be a fabulous location. Great views, wonderful aspect. Absolutely. Now, the knock-on effects of joblessness on things like homelessness, a general sense of well-being, and indeed people's health.
Massive. I mean, again, this sort of focuses in on places like South Hill and Moy Ross as well. Tiernan O'Neill is the principal of Corpus Christi Primary School in Moy Ross. You might actually remember that that school hit the headlines a couple of years ago when Father Tony O'Riordan, the high-profile former parish priest, he suggested that the church there locally might have to sell off, you know, some of its communion chalices and stuff to finance the school's running. But Tiernan O'Neill says the situation is now turning around there thanks to the regeneration project, and they have a focus as well in the school on more than just the academic element of pupils' life. So I checked in with him yesterday afternoon to see how things had come on since those days in 2015, 2016. And it's clear there is still a long way yet to travel.
We've had between 15 and 20 children homeless at different periods of the year. And they're different children living in hotel accommodation. We had one family earlier this year, and over a six-week period, the two children under the age of seven and a mother, they were in 15 different hotels in a six-week period. So how can children possibly engage with an education system with that level of transience? It's crazy stuff. It really, really is. Well, we've been quite fortunate, again, through the parish where we've access to a little bus. So we've been able to collect the children and bring them to school. And it's only, I suppose, a simple solution from our perspective, but it's worked really well for the children that they've been able to come to school every day. Because as you can imagine, if you're in 15 different hotels over a six-week period, from the mam's perspective, school certainly isn't a priority. You know, you're just going day to day trying to book yourself into the different hotels. Huge impact on the kids. Even you can imagine yourself as a 6 or 7 year old not knowing from day to day where you're going to be going that night. It has a huge impact, and I think that's something we're very cognizant of in the school, that you can't just focus on the academic side. You've got to be focusing on the social and the emotional side of these children's development as well. Like, these children can't just park their social and emotional baggage at the gate and come in and engage with a curriculum. That's not the real world, you know. So we're very much of the opinion that we need to be developing a therapeutic model of engaging these children. It's not just focusing on their academic competencies. You focus on their social and emotional competencies as well, because I think we realise just the difficulties and the issues that are in a lot of these children's lives, like right across society now in Ireland. You know, mental health is a huge issue. Addiction is a massive issue. I think we're well aware of that in this school, but I think we need to get them to a level where they can engage. And when you look at the amounts of money that are spent on the judicial system every year, it costs the bones of €1,000 a week to keep a person in prison. If that was spent on a young person when he's 4, 5, 6 years of age, when you look at a cost-benefit analysis of what could be spent, a fraction of what could be spent on these young people when they're young. Similarly, when you look at children that are in care, in some of the private care homes around the country, up to €5,000 per week being spent on these children. And I know some of these kids, and I see the potential that's in these young people if they were properly and positively engaged.
That's the issue. €20,000 will save you a fortune later on, but the problem is you have to spend it now.
Yeah,
and that's always for politicians. They're unwilling to commit to these schemes. Some of the comments: Limerick and Waterford have been neglected since the foundation of the state in favour of Cork and Galway. That's from Jerry. Northern Trust, massive employer in Limerick and growing year on year. That's from Peter. Why are these young people staying there like that mechanic? Leave and go to Dublin or London and go and find work. Another one: it would be interesting to see a breakdown of who is or who is not getting jobs by age. Is this unemployment mainly in older people and not just in Limerick? That's from Aidan in Carrigaline. Now, Northern Trust, one of the new employers in...
No, Northern Trust have been there for quite some time now, but with Brexit, actually, I mean, people talk about the Brexit lure of Dublin. Northern Trust decided then, after in the aftermath of Brexit, it wasn't going to move operations to Dublin. It was going to bring 400 more jobs to its Limerick base there. The IDA says that over the past 5 years, it's backed the creation of 5,000 jobs in Limerick. Hopes as well, I suppose, that, you know, more jobs will follow on from that. But now, at this point, it must be noted that a lot of people in Limerick do cast doubt on the IDA figure and the figure around Brexit and FDI. They feel that a lot of the people who are getting those jobs in financial services and in tech companies, are, you know, EU, or they're from other parts of Ireland. Like, I mean, companies like Uber have set up in Limerick over the past number of years.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would
say. So they're saying it's not necessarily Limerick people who are getting these jobs in Limerick, but other people who migrate to Limerick and then take up the
jobs. Exactly. They feel that they're not really getting a dividend, a local dividend from that. But down at ground level, Paddy Flannery from Moyross Community Centre says good work is also being done at a community level to create local jobs. And there's now been a lift in the area, but he says he has plenty to say as well on the FDI issue.
I think there's a need for a lot more focus on pre-development work, pre-employment work with particularly people from regeneration areas who have not worked, or young people who may never have worked and may have left school early. So programmes like SciCap and them need to be remodelled so that there's more focus on the pre-development side of the job. Mm. And getting young people onto schemes like community employment schemes, training programmes. Don't wait till they're 25, get them started at 18. Get them out and get them doing something, and then that kickstarts a path either to work or education.
And that's a feeling which some people who have already been talking with to sort of say that they're feeling already, is that they've seen some multinational companies set up here in the last number of years but take workers from Dublin, say, or from around the EU. So do you think that's something which those companies in particular need to have some sort of focus on, hiring people from the areas in which they're setting up?
I've a view that people should be empowered to compete for the jobs, not saying everybody is taking our jobs. They're not our jobs, they're not my job, and they're not your job. There's a job there, and I need to make sure that I'm skilled and qualified enough to do the job. And if I am, no employer will turn me down. And we've got people here in coming onto community employment schemes, and we put them through for a year, 2 years, 3 years. They do their training and then they go out and they're working in mainstream employment. They're outside in the regional hospital, they're outside in the tax office, they're outside in LIT, they're in Dell, they're in security. People will, if they have the skill and the capacity, will get work. But we've got to make sure they have the proper skills, capacity, and really important is a work ethic. Now, and that might sound, that's what we need to be able to focus on in the communities, and then people will get the jobs.
That's an interesting take by Paddy Flannery. You know, give the people the skills, make sure you have a work ethic, and the work will be there for you.
Mm. He's very much, you know, trying to, you know, almost make a sort of a self-sufficiency about it. He's very much driving more and more people, trying to get them as young as possible into work in the community centre, taking them on in various roles and, you know, boosting their skill base so that they'll pass it on as well, even amongst their own family members and friends as well.
Now, what lies in store for Limerick? I mean, is there anything that will deliver a real lift for those who feel they've been left out? And I've been to Moyross and I've seen the situation. And when we were there, like, lads just hanging around, and you just felt if something is not done for them, that they'll go astray.
That's the feeling. I mean, it really is. I mean, you mentioned at the start, even about, you know, the infrastructure links that Limerick has, you know, Shannon Airport, the Deepwater Port, even Colbert Station has a great, you know, transport links developed off that now in the last while. But one of the main hopes they actually have in Limerick now is this new Cork to Limerick motorway, which has been mooted, something which has long been promised. Mm-hmm. The feeling there that could bring hundreds of construction jobs, which would be very, very welcome. Another concern, though, as we already mentioned, is the fact that, you know, they've lost their minister. They've lost Michael Noonan, a person who, you know, love him or hate him in Limerick, they felt that he would look after them when it came down to investment. So they feel now that they won't actually even have as strong a voice now when it comes to attracting more of those companies, which, you know, are contentious enough as it stands, to Limerick City. So Cian Prendeville is a solidarity councillor for Limerick City. He's come of age in the recession and the aftermath. He says the policy of leaning on foreign companies is hugely risky going forward.
When I graduated from University of Limerick, at my graduation party, the topic of conversation was, where were people going, you know, where were people emigrating to? I didn't leave, I was one of the few that didn't leave, I was unemployed then for a while, but most people that I knew had emigrated, and those that are left behind, it has a devastating impact in terms of mental health as well. Limerick also has a very high rate of mental health problems and suicide, especially amongst young men as well. And I don't think you can say that it's as simple as A causes B, but there's definitely a correlation, there's definitely a connection there between the two. When people feel that society can't provide a decent future for them, that they've been forgotten about, that they've no the prospect of being able to get a house, a car, have a decent life is ruled out, then depression sets in. And the cost of this unemployment crisis is not just in monetary terms, but it's also in mental health and in lives that have been lost as well, I've no doubt. I think Limerick is a very working class city, and it always has been, and it's often ignored and passed over. The economy of Limerick for years has been based on one or two big multinationals. You had Dell, obviously, more recently. You had other examples. Dell left, or they took away most of the jobs there. That had a particularly devastating impact. Thousands of jobs. It's estimated that up to 10,000 jobs knock on were lost. Limerick hasn't recovered. If the government strategy is to just go again and try again, wash, rinse and repeat that failed economic strategy, then that won't work.
And that is the solidarity councillor in the area, Cian Prenderville. Some of the comments coming in, not enough young people going into trades in Limerick, or indeed anywhere in Ireland, that's the case. Limerick doesn't have 18 jobs black spots. Limerick has 18 spots where people don't want to work. Dell is going to be another Harland and Wolff. That's from Tracy. I was born and lived in Limerick for 25 years, moved to Dublin 10 years ago. A day doesn't pass when I'm not jeered or slagged, all in good humour, about being from Limerick. Therefore, violent, thuggish and angry, and I'm someone not to be messed with. None of my colleagues have been to Limerick as they think it's too rough. Their opinions are based on media portrayals of the city. Change the media portrayal of Limerick, change in investment and job creation. Everything is about perception, evidenced by our property crisis. That old thing about Limerick, though, I thought that had kind of faded away.
It's very old fashioned. It was very much like Derrigore in the 90s. But I mean, this is something which people there feel is that, you know, they don't get talked about in the media, even like even as a destination for companies. They feel that.
I mean, there's no question though. There was a lot of criminality in Limerick. There were the drug gangs and the wars between the different families, and a lot of very, very bad publicity for the city in terms of the rate of crime for such a small place. Because Limerick is a small, a very small city, but the guards eventually got it under control. Limerick, I mean, you can live in some of the so-called posh parts of Limerick and not be aware of the underbelly at all.
But I mean, even in places like Moyross and South Hill, there's no open violence anymore. I mean, that's one of the things the community centre actually did, is that they've stuck up hundreds and hundreds of cameras. It was one of their own initiatives, so that they keep an eye on it, would drop down on, you know, open criminality, and it's effectively really, really worked. So I mean, just in terms of that, that stigma is really very much out of date at this stage.
The indigenous people must come first. This is why Britain is in the trouble it's in now. This is the idea that Britain, all the national British people have no jobs because of the French doctor or the Polish plumber. Well, become a doctor, become a plumber. You know, that's the answer, because they need people to do those jobs. That's why they're there. And I mean, we see people all the time in the Dublin area, and I'm sure it's the same in Limerick, who've travelled halfway across Europe to get a job in Ireland.
Yeah.
And people want a job around the corner from the place where they grew up. It's not necessarily going to be possible. This one, seriously, Pat, has the country simply done away with personal responsibility? And again, that can be difficult. You can say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, there's no opportunity exactly where you're meant to pull yourself up to. Yeah. I mean, even things like apprenticeships, that's something people in Limerick really are crying out for as well, just even on the aspects of trades. And they don't feel there's enough avenues for that.
Yeah. The companies are not there to provide the apprenticeships. All right, Richard, interesting. Anyway, most of the employment black spots of the top 10, 8 of them are in Limerick.
Absolutely.
So there we are.